You know, I was just sitting here thinking about all the nice things I want to say about my friend Janine. Janine just recently celebrated 2 years of continuous sobriety. That's like weekends and evenings and holidays and everything. Janine is the kind of person who will tell you what's going on. She is something really, really special. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to Janine.
Hi. Welcome, my people. Janine, an alcoholic, and I am so grateful to be here and so nervous and all the stuff. My sponsor, my first sponsor reminded me, well, didn't he share it before, right, Janine? And I said, oh, yeah, but that was, like, early in sobriety. Like, my brain was still foggy back then. So, yeah. I just want to say thank you for inviting me, Bill. This whole group has been a second home. And I'm just grateful that I have you guys in my life. Okay, so here we go. So my sober date is June 8th of 2019. Woo! Got out of jail with my third DUI 4 days after my second one. So I might have a little bit of an alcohol problem. And my home group is Women's Alano Club. Everything's kind of shifted, though, because of the COVID. So I kind of really want to say my home group is the Visalia Valley Nurse. I feel like I'm cheating on my Limor Peach, but I'm sorry. It is what it is. Without an afternoon, throughout this COVID, you guys helped keep me sober. Very thankful. And I have a sponsor. And she has a sponsor, and she told me to say that I'm available to sponsor, and I am nervous to even say that. That's the first time I've said that, and nervous on that one. And so here we go, strength and hope, right? Okay, what it was like. Well, I like to drink. So I grew up in Northern Nevada, and I'm half Shoshone and half Navajo. My father is from the New Mexico. He's the Navajo, and my mother is Shoshone from Northern Nevada. And let's just say alcoholism runs very deep in my family on both sides. God be with us today. I grew up in an alcoholic home, and it was normal, but it wasn't normal, right? I grew up on a colony in Nevada. We call them colonies. I don't know why. They're not reservations where we're from. Only like the ones outside of the towns are called reservations. But our colony is in the middle, let's say, of Hanford. So it's just right in the smack of the middle of town. And that's our little reservation. And you could walk just around the block and to go to the gas station if you wanted to get any alcohol, liquor, Nevada 24/7, and gambling, and yeah, it was something I grew up around, so it wasn't, everybody was basically drunk. And so I'm the youngest. I have three older siblings, and they lost their father in Vietnam, and so I kind of always had this little different, I felt out of place, but loved type of thing. They were a lot older than me, about 10, 12 years, And they protected me. So that's where I was kind of felt weird. Like I was protected, but I wasn't, you know. My mother had stopped drinking when she was pregnant with me and after she had me. She didn't drink. And the time that I do remember her drinking, she relapsed and stabbed my aunt in the back of the neck with the ice pick. And I remember her, I remember the whole building in the house and, you know, people, our aunts and stuff coming to come and visit us, or her, because that happened like that. I remember a bucket, I remember water, and I just remember that feeling, that ugly feeling in the house, you know. But, yeah, but that's, I don't remember her drinking. I don't, but I do remember that. So to me, I never seen my mother drunk. But my dad, on the other hand, oh, I just love that man. But, you know, he worked. I had two parents. They both worked. We always had stuff. We, you know, that was the confusing part about it, because my friends, you know, either they were without, or, you know, they didn't have two parents in the home, or they were being brought up by their grandparents, and that's kind of how it was on the reservation. That was normal. A lot of partying, a lot of weekends with your aunts and stuff, and just a lot of partying and a lot of music and a lot of, but it seemed fun. I don't know what, it was so normal. It seemed so fun. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm just like, gosh, they drove with us. We had those seatbelts on and just driving crazy in the mountains. And, yeah. And it was chaotic like that. A lot of fighting, but what I learned how to do early was to block it out, shove it, keep busy, and suck it up, you know, and put on that happy face and everything's okay. I kept busy with a lot of sports. I kept busy, just busy, because it was a quiet, chaotic in my home. I lost my brother when I was 10 in 89. He got shot by our tribal cops. There was a shootout there. Death was very common in our family around the reservation. A lot of committed suicides. That was common. It was rough. It was really rough. I always walked on eggshells every time. But things happened. I didn't understand, you know, because a lot of the things that did happen to me when I was younger, they weren't violent or anything like that. So I hid those things. And it was just a lot of hiding. A lot of hiding and sucking it in. Sucking it up, right? Just everything's okay. You know, the house, the cars, everything. We got everything. You got your health and everything like that. And I grew up really fast. And all that stuff that I had, all that baggage, all that everything I carried inside me, I took it with me when I just turned 14. And I was going into the ninth grade. And all that stuff and all that shit that I had in myself, I ran. So I was right off the bat, I ran, and I went to a boarding school in Oregon, in Salem, Oregon, at 14. it was an all Native American boarding school, and pretty much everybody, I had such a blast though. It was so much fun. It was a lot different in 93, so everything was a lot. It was fun. It was a big breath of relief. Like, I didn't have to worry about the house and, you know, the arguments, the whatever. I lived in a dorm. I lived with a lot of other Native Americans from Wisconsin, Alaska. I got to meet a lot of really good people. But pretty much everybody that was coming from reservations were in the same boat, so it was normal. And my drinking carried on up there in high school. And we would do the whole weekend thing, go to the store, because we'd be able to go to the stores and off-campus type of thing. Well, I met my kids' father there, and, you know, in a healthy relationship and in a healthy, you know, if I had two healthy parents, I could have probably seen a little bit of some red flags there. My kids' father got kicked out within a month. Because he was stealing alcohol from the grocery store. but I thought he was the coolest thing, right? His white shoes and just everything. But I didn't realize that was not normal. I have five children. I have three older boys and my two younger girls. And now, being a mother and a parent, looking at what 13, 14-year-olds look like today and to see how young I was and so confused and so, I don't know, dysfunction inside me, all that crap I carried with me at such a young age. No wonder why I drink. but it scares me today because I get to look at it. But I'm so thankful because today, because of this program, I get to see it and call it what it is, you know. And I love my parents very much, but, you know, they weren't good parents at that time. But I understand today they did the best that they could with what they knew. It was hard because when you say that you're Native American, that whole stigma of, being an alcoholic was embarrassing to me. Very embarrassing, and that was probably one of the hardest things is admitting I was an alcoholic because I didn't want to be a drunk Indian. And I'm very emotional because I'm very sober, so I really apologize. I won't apologize for the tears, but I am a very emotional person. So what I brought when I was that little 13-year-old kid, 14, I brought into a relationship out of high school. And the cycle begins, right? I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know healthy boundaries. I knew nothing. But I knew I was running away and I was getting away from that when I knew that home. So I moved here to Lemoore, California in 99 after high school. I you know, I was very disciplined. I was really good at sports. I walked on to COS as a walk-on softball pitcher. And Davey. I think that's next door. But so I got on, you know, I had goals and I had all these things, but I all I did was I moved. I moved and brought everything with me and started a new relationship. We had started having kids, started working, and all he was the alcoholic and not me, right? we used to be able to drink together. It was a weekend thing. And over here on their reservation, that's, you know, was normal, just like ours. And, but him and I together drinking was not good. We fought a lot. I blacked out. He blacked out. You know, I've done a lot of shitty things to that man too. Sometimes I put Ambien and whatever in his drink because I didn't understand how the alcoholism could keep him awake so long, right? And I would do dangerous stuff like that. I did the whole codependent marriage type of thing, you know? I'd be trying to put him to sleep or I'd hit him with a high heel and just a horrible, horrible thing. Not even thinking that I could have really hurt this man. We had a really violent home, but it was behind closed doors, right? The kids, we did our best for the kids not to see us fighting or anything like that, and so I hit a lot, and I stopped drinking because I black out. So I stopped drinking, and I started substituting that for prescription medicines after my C-section. And that took on a whole other thing, because once I started taking those things, I did feel fearful. I wasn't walking on eggshells. I had a lot of energy. And maybe feel like a super mom, you know. I was able to go to the parent-teacher conferences. I was able to do all these little volunteer things, you know. Our house looked clean. The outside was good. We had a lot of, you know, we were blessed that financially we didn't have to worry about stuff. So as long as everything looked good on the outside, you know, it you know, was. But it became very, very dysfunctional, and it was, it was not happy. When I started getting more into my addiction at that time, I started nodding out. Well, I got a first DUI on that. just crazy. I crashed a car. I passed out at a Taco Bell drive-thru with my kids, picking them up from school. Ended up in the hospital. I don't know how many times. Never once thinking that how scared my kids' father must have been sleeping next to me, because I didn't care. I really didn't care. I was very selfish and self-centered and not knowing, right? But he was the alcoholic and not me. And that went on for years. But I got introduced to the sister program, I don't know how you say it, the NA program, because of that. And that was early 2000s, and oh gosh, that was just terrible. I just remember, and no disrespect or anything, it was hard. I got to meet a lot of cool people, and I just, You know what? I was down at the get down. I loved the atmosphere of all our crazy people, right? I loved it. I wasn't ready yet. I would show up high or just, you know, trying to get out of the house without kids, so I would always say I was going to a meeting. So I lied a lot. I stole. I was terrible, but I still was a good mother. I was a good mother. Oh, man. But that landed me in a couple rehabs, and I couldn't understand, you know, like, you know, why God wasn't taking me. He just wouldn't. And I was so dark and so lonely, and I just wanted to not be here. And I kept waking up. I did about, I think the most I got was 7 months. And I'd go back out with those prescription pills because my partner would start drinking again, and I'd start getting scared. And something about that scared feeling reminded me that I didn't know where it was coming from. But now that I get to look back on a lot of things that was from childhood, I used to feel that way when my dad came home drunk. And that's exactly how I was feeling as a 30-year-old mother with 5 children. And I finally, I don't know, that was all God. I left, and I've been on this journey since 2015, and by the grace of God, He definitely sped up my alcoholism. I was about 6 months single, barely being able to get used to going out of the house after dark. I got a job. You know, I started filling out applications. It was so awkward. I've never been by myself. I never got to experience what it was like to live by myself. And I was always somebody's mother, somebody's spouse, doormat, you know, all that stuff. And, I quit those pills. I kicked it, and I haven't touched them since. But my alcoholism kicked it. I substituted it for that. And it was fun at the beginning. I would go out like once a month with the ladies, like, you know, starting to go out. But I didn't have the kids on my off week, and it was fun. It was really fun. And then it was like, you know, every other week. But I didn't stop. I still drank. And fast forward a year later, I'm literally drinking every day, every night. When the kids are asleep, that's when I would. And I would pass out, so they would have to wake me up in the morning to take them to school. And it happened so quick. It happened so quick. I would drink beer thinking that, okay, yeah, I'll just drink beer, but I didn't like having to drink that much like that. So then I just started going to vodka straight, and yeah, I was drinking every day. I would maintain, I would do that stupid controlled drinking, you know, just so I would be sober enough to get the kids and then pick them up and then cook dinner, and then after that I would be done. So yeah, it was my friends. I wasn't fun to be around anymore because I always blacked out. I always took it overboard. So then for them not to say anything to me, I started staying home a lot, and I stopped going out with them. And then Yeah, the drinking really picked up, and I would be so scared because I would wake up sometimes with big old bruises, and I don't know where I got them from. I was constantly checking my vehicle. I lost my car one time, or twice. Just terrible. This alcoholism had gotten me. I would wake up and with guys I didn't even know, you know. Thinking, what the hell? Where am I? You know, and just crazy stuff. But I was having a really good time, right? But just lost. Very, very lost. And I started feeling that feeling of I didn't care anymore. I did not care. And just feeling just hopeless. Just like the book says, right? That's exactly how I felt. And I started getting in trouble, drunk in public. I started getting, I got my first DUI, which I thought was my first DUI because the first one, it was on pills. It wasn't on alcohol. So the second one was really my first alcoholic DUI. And that's so stupid, but in my head, that's what I was thinking. And it took them about almost 8 months to hit me with that second DUI. And then 4 days after that, somebody called in my car, and I was picking up some more liquor and out of the store, and I got arrested for drunk driving. And I was so scared. I was done. I was so done. I woke up in the drunk tank. It was rough. Some homeless lady hopped in the thing after she got released the same time, and that's all I remember. She's like, where are you going? And I go, I'm going to Lemoore. She's like, oh, okay, me too. And I'm like, do you know, I was asking the cab guy, I go, do you know her? And he's like, well, she's going to Lemoore. And I was like, okay. And I got home, and the next day, I just said, God, help me. Help me. And I didn't want to die. Because I knew that's what was going to happen. I couldn't turn on my shower. I had the shakes. Really, really bad. I had cramps in my legs. It was bad. It was really bad. And I survived by the grace of God. And I got into these rooms with the ankle monitor. I didn't really want to come, but I know I didn't want to die, right? And thank God I didn't hurt anybody. And I remember the first couple months I was sitting in the AA meetings, and I couldn't drink because I had the little 30-minute device on my ankle that dinged my pores. And a lady was sharing, and she was talking about, you know, the first time she took a drink. And my mind was starting to unfog, you know, it was just barely starting to. I was a little scared because I didn't know if I was ever going to get the old me back, whatever the old me was. I really didn't know at that time. And she said exactly what the book says about that whole allergy of the body, how my body reacts to alcohol. And I remember that. I remember that feeling when I was a little girl and in the sixth grade when I hung out with the older kids and I drank, and it made me feel like comfort. And I said, oh my God, I'm an alcoholic. Mind you, 3 DUIs later and all that shit that I've been through. And and I'm like, I'm an alcoholic. And it made sense. And it made sense because all these years I was just, I always had a question, like, I don't understand, you know, what am I missing? And it clicked. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm an alcoholic, like a real alcoholic. And then I was pissed. I was really pissed because now I know I know. And I was kind of angry for a while. For the first 6 months or so, I did not want to be an alcoholic. And I did not want to know. Because then you can hear in the meetings, oh, well, now we're going to mess up your drinking. So anytime you drink, you know what, we're going to be in your mind. And I'm like, that's messed up. Like, I don't want to have AA room in my mind when I, you know, when I finish all this stuff. And, yeah, you guys definitely got in my mind. But I kept coming to these rooms, and I would hit the noon meeting in Hanford every, you know, 12 o'clock all the time, and just sitting there and listening to people's stories. And I remember looking around these rooms and looking at all the differences of all the people, like, gosh, they're so old and they're so boring and all they do is bitch and complain and they talk about the same stuff. And then just like, well, why, if they're been sober for all this time, why do they have to keep coming back to these meetings? Don't they have a life? Don't they freaking have a life? And I just remember it's going to be such a boring life having to be sober. That's what I was thinking. And I have to stay sober for this program. I got to stay sober to stay out of jail. And just all this shit that I was thinking about when I walked in these rooms. And there was this lady that had just this light. She had this big smile on her face, and her eyes were just happy. And she was cool. She was an older lady, but something about her, it just draws me to her. I asked her if she could be my sponsor. And poor lady, she said yes. She goes, well, let me think about it. She goes, let me ask my sponsor. And I got to be her first sponsee. And thank goodness for that woman. She was with me when my brain was clearing up from all the alcohol. And I don't know what brain, whatever was going on, because that first year was pretty rough. I had a lot of court going on with the DUIs, and I also had family court and just court. I still have court to this day. But she got me through it, and Courtney, she probably wanted to slap me a couple times, but I look back at it now and how I was telling her how I'm good. I'm going in an outpatient. I don't need to go over step 1, 2. I'm already on 3. We just finished 3. And she's like, oh, okay. And then so finally she finally said, you know what, Janine? she gave me a piece of her mind, and that's what I needed to hear. And I shut up and I listened to her for a little bit, you know? And it was so cool because, you know, there's a time and place, and I go, you know what? Fine. Okay. I am powerless over everything. And it was so funny. We just started laughing because it took me how many months of me making this program so difficult. And I go, oh, I get what you were trying to tell me now, right, to my poor sponsor, but I'm very thankful for her, and I'm thankful for this program. I got to see a lot of people throughout this whole journey of my life, I got to see another person I hadn't seen in maybe about 10 years when I very first walked into the other program. I seen him last night, and caught me off guard. And he said, "I'm so glad to see that you're still here." And that we're all miracles. I'm pretty sure you guys have some pretty rough experience too. And we are. And that's the beauty of this program, is to see somebody, to see them alive, really alive. Today, it's so different. I can pass as a normal person in my apartment complex, whatever normal is. You know, I'm not embarrassed or worried about if anybody has seen me black out, or if I hit anybody's car, if I embarrass myself, or if they see me, whatever, crawling through my window, or anything like that. I could, you know, have a conversation today. I can speak clear. I can laugh, and I freaking get a cry, and I can't wait for this to kind of calm down with the crying and everything. And this is my first time really sharing, and I had plans in my head how I wanted to say everything, and it just did not come out like that right now. But I'm so thankful for these 12 steps. Man, I'm very blessed that I got this opportunity, and that I am an alcoholic, and that there is a solution for this, and it's in this book. It's in this book that I had for like almost a year and didn't read fully. And then when I started reading it, I was like, oh, okay. You know what they said in here? You know, and just like, wow. It's so simple. And the first, what, 164 pages or whatever. And it really is. And I made it so difficult, but when I can understand it's in God's time and not in mine. You know, I have a lot of healing to do and learning and growing up, having a connection with my higher power today, which I was so mad at him. I was so mad at that God or whatever he was. You know, my kids went to a Catholic school, and he, you know, nothing against that, my kids are Catholics, and they went to a private school. I went to Mass every Sunday with them, loaded, but we went to Mass, and I remember sitting in the pews, and just would be like, this is so stupid. Like, but okay, you know, whatever. And I was so dead inside. So dead inside. And, it brought me back to home. Huge, huge. I've never had 2 years of sobriety since sixth grade. I had 9 months only because I was pregnant. So, had that by 10-5. But, never a full 2 years since about sixth, seventh grade. So when my sponsor had asked me, she was getting, "Who are you?" And I said, huh? And what do you mean? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite, you know, certain themes? Like, what, I'm like, I have no clue and I don't know. And she goes, well, thank you for being honest. And I was like, and I sat there after that and I thought about that. That I will be 42 years old and I get to know who Janine is today because of this program. Because I do not pick up a drink. Because I'm an alcoholic and I have an allergy to this thing. And it's it will kill me. It will kill me the next time. And I don't even know if I have a next time. I don't want to know. Life is so, so full. I have less things today, but I have my life and I have so much more today. My daughter's saying I'm the best mother ever. I still have my two older sons. They don't talk to me. So life is not perfect. I've been cussed out by them. I had one tell me to go to hell. Other one just doesn't want anything to do with me, and my 16-year-old is, thank goodness, you know, he's still here with me and checks up on me, and we still have a really good relationship. Today, my 13 and my 10-year-old are starting to get trust back where I can walk out to the store and they don't have to worry if mom is going to be drunk when she comes home. When I get them on my week, they walk in and they're not walking on eggshells. They're not worried if I'm passed out or what I'm doing or if I'm going to embarrass them. We get to do things today. It's so different. I have patience. I'm not yelling at them. I'm not this mess. I'm not shaking when I braid their hair. Oh, man. They hate me wearing red lipstick. I guess I wore a lot of red lipstick when I was drinking, but they don't like that. And when I say I'm going to be there, I'm there. I don't burn the food that much. Oh, man. And it's crazy. It's such a beautiful, beautiful life. It's scary because I've never been sober, so I don't know a lot of things, but I get to learn it today. I get to learn how to communicate. I get to have boundaries. I get to learn what it's like to have grace and dignity. I get to be free. I don't have a monitor on me. Thank goodness I didn't have to do any time in jail. That was all God. So he looked out for me there. I've never been in trouble by the law. But like I said, this last year and a half before I stopped drinking, that's when all my trouble happened. And, so I wouldn't know what it was like to be in jail. I've never been. But I get to go back to school. And I got my license, so I'm legal. And I got a damn breathalyzer in there, but yeah. You play, you pay. And I have real friendships today. People that love me and care about me. And I'm just so thankful. So I kind of messed up my little thing. I don't know how I'm doing on time, but right now I just completed my fifth step, and I'm working on my sixth and my seventh step. I have service commitments, And my sponsorship, I have a sponsorship family, and I really rely upon them. I don't know. All I know is this is a place where I'd rather be than sit in a bar blacked out or sit in home blacked out. You know, my father, is still in his disease right now, so I haven't heard from him in a minute, but, I'm not in control of people, places, or things, and that was one of the things I used to stress about, is family, my father, and trying to help people, and trying to, I don't know what I would think that was going to help, but today my life is very peaceful. I say, you know, my connection, my spiritual connection with my higher power is stronger than ever, and I rely upon him every single day, because this would have never happened. I would have never been able to sit and talk this long. I would have never said yes. And, trip out on that. But I know that these rooms, you know, if God is in you, and if I'm relying on him too, and if we're all relying on him, then, you know, this is the place where I want to be. And, it's home. And if I can say enough, you know, if you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. You don't have a God or a higher power, whatever, find one. Work these steps. Because that's the only thing that's keeping me alive today, you know? My connection with my higher power and this program. But I really don't know what to say after this, but thank you, Bill, for asking me to share. And I don't know if anybody's there because I'm on the damn phone, so I can't see. But are you there, Bill?
Yes, and okay. Thank you so much, Janine. Are you just wrapping up?
Yes.
You did a phenomenal job. I was going to say, I realized, you know, I don't know about you, but I always think about what I said after I said it, and I realized there's something I wish I would have said different, and that was, I wish I would have said, you guys are in for a real treat tonight. And So it's easy to say now. Janine, thank you so much. You have a beautiful heart, and I just love your spirit and love the amazing story of hope and recovery through the AA's 12 steps that you just shared with us. So thank you so much for doing that. We are now going to start the discussion portion of the meeting, and we'd like to hear from as many people as possible. So we'll ask you to be cautious with how much time that you use. I will now turn the meeting back over to our chairperson to pick speakers. So Janine, we have a couple people at New Hope, and we have a I think there's a dark room full of people at Pine. So, and then of course you've got all the individual members that are joining as well. So please feel free to call on folks and participate.
And let's hear from Pine. Anyone from Pine?
It usually takes a moment for them to get up to the camera, so.
How did you have time? I forgot. I totally spaced that off.
Oh, you did just great. Looks like we've got somebody coming up now.
Hi, I'm Robert. I'm an addict.
Hello, Robert.
you did a wonderful, wonderful job. You know, it's very good to see young ladies like yourself still coming in, and you know, you have an amazing story. It's good that you get it out. People in here rely on other people like you and Bill and the rest of these people inside here. All I wanted to say is I'm coming up on my last days here before I exit, and I had a good 4 months, but I'm still going to be here. I'll still see the meetings and stuff. I'm going to do aftercare. But other than that, I've been doing real good. So with that, I'll just let that go.
Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else from Pine like to talk?
Hey, Bill. It's Francisco. I'm an alcoholic. I just like to say I have 63 days sober today.
Oh,
and, yeah. And AA. So, thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Storm. I'm an alcoholic addict. Today I am blessed with 102 days clean and sober. My journey has been very interesting. You know, half Native American, half white, and that comes with its own lifestyle on its own. I know all about that low life stuff, know about that tweaker life, and all this crazy gang stuff, being, you know, around that my whole life, you know, and I am have recovered and survived 51-50 issues as well. Every time I come up to talk, I feel like I finally have a new meaning to go off of every time I hear somebody share. And the struggles and the tribulations and what it took to get to where we're at is why we're here. It's not the war stories. It's not what we've been through. It's what we're doing now. You know what I mean? And what we're doing now is freaking amazing. I never knew that I would come this far. And it took a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of working with everyone. I'm all about what that triangle is. You know, service, variety, unity. And right now, I just love listening to everybody. You know what I mean? You could take something from someone or from somebody's testimony. And this isn't for everyone. You know what I mean? We literally have to put work in, be okay with doing things wrong, because we're going to try to do it right the next time. Failure is not an option. You know what I mean? But success is. And all I know is every time I look right behind me with these guys, I see people that are coming from where they came from, being willing to surrender all that, get rid of all those feelings, they're not yours no more, and be okay with being uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And we're all learning to be humble and patient and all that kind of stuff, but it's you cry to God for help. He said, here's a program. All you have to do is put the footwork in, and that's how you answer back. So my best thing that I can say is I really enjoyed your share. And I will keep trying to be encouraged to come up here and speak more, because I know I got a lot in me that is screaming to come out. So I thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What about Chris?
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. I just love you, Janine. Oh, my gosh, I just love you. I remember you coming into the Noon Rovers over here in Hanford, riding your bike, like you said, from Lemoore. I just love that, you know, and you were there in the middle of the summer riding your bike. I was like, holy shit, you came all the way from Lemoore. I could barely walk. I live like 3 blocks from the corner, you know, and I just love that. Thank you so much for your courage and being vulnerable and sharing your honest truth, you know. I can relate to so much what you share. I mean, that insanity of that, and that chaos when we're in our disease, and that part I love what you said, like, And I'm happy. You know, lately I've been thinking about this song that when I first came in, I remember it's a Sheryl Crow, and it says, if it makes you happy, if it makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad? And I used to think that about my friend. And when I got in here, I said, that's my freaking song, man. Because I thought I was so damn happy, but I was so miserable, you know. And I could certainly relate. We were in Nevada 24 hours. When I started my drinking in high school in New York, and they were bars open till 4 in the morning, and it was 18 to drink in the 70s, and all those 15-year-olds were in the bar, you know what I mean? And I had arrived, like I said in the book, and I can relate to a lot of what you said, and I love you shared the solution, you know, because that's exactly what I found here. I found a solution to what I didn't know, a problem that I had, right? The first thing is I'm an alcoholic, and I love that you said that. I remember the first time I said, hi, I'm Chris, I'm an alcoholic, I freaking cried. Because I think it was like, holy shit. Like you said, there it is. Not that I knew what it meant yet, but for some reason it gave some emotion. Because I grew up like you, we hid things, we hid emotions. It was that stoic Italian family. Yo, you just shove that shit down. You know, and I ran from emotions. And so when I get sober, now I have all these things. And what the hell do I do with them? Well, you know, like you said, I don't have my book, but the first 164 pages, there's the tools. It says in there, it's a design for living. I've learned in here that the drinking was a solution to all that irritable, discontented, I don't want to have feelings kind of stuff. You know, I feel less than. And so my drinking helped me run from that until one day it just didn't, I couldn't stay down anymore, you know. And so I found tools, which exactly like you said, were the sponsor, the meetings, you know, working the steps and understanding them, finding a sponsor that I was willing to be honest with to help her teach me who the hell I was. You know, I'm 60 now. You know, I got a few 24 hours, but I finally kind of feel comfortable knowing who the hell I am. You know what I mean? I'm on the other side of this life. But, you know, and you mentioned about sponsoring. And I wish for you that you are open and willing to sponsor. I got to work with two women today that we did the first step, and how amazing that was. And then this other woman, we're just starting this sober journey together. And what a freaking gift it is to give away, to have that purpose. That, you know, I got the same thing. I can't be a sponsor. I don't know anything. I'll tell you, but after I finished that 12-step, I don't know what it was. It was what was given to me, and it came because I have a God today that if I listen to and I just use that intuitive part, and I have a sponsor to go to when I can't, you know, when I got to figure something out. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's a hell of a lot easier once you've kind of done it yourself and you just give your truth and your honesty. So sponsoring is an amazing blessing that we get to give to ourselves and to those that was so freely given to us. And so I wish for you to have that fear anyway, because courage is having fear and doing it anyway because you're going with God. So thank you so much. I just love you. Thank you for the shares at Pine. I love that. You know, it is a miracle. We're all miracles, and this is an amazing program, you know, and it really is God-given. So thank you, Janine. I just love you. Let me share.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Is Kathy here? Shit. How about
No, Kathy's here. Kathy's here.
Oh, Kathy.
You can't see me, Janine. I'm Kathy. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, I'm just so proud of you, you know, that your heart is so big and those emotions are so real and you are so vulnerable and just let it all come out and be honest about it. I've seen you grow so much. Touches my heart. And I just want you to know that you taught me more than I'm sure I taught you. There's such growth in sponsoring, and you'll be so blessed with it. You know, whatever comes out of my mouth when I had the opportunity and the honor to sponsor you was really a God thing, a spiritual thing. It wasn't anything I knew. It was just something I felt. And that's what happens, I believe, with all sponsors and sponsee. And you forgot to mention how many times did I tell you to breathe? Yeah, because for me, breathing is, gets me through a lot of pain, a lot of rough tension time. When I'm feeling really stressed or really hurt, I take those deep breaths and I meditate. And so I just gave to you whatever was given to me. So, and that's what the program's done. It's given to me, and Well, I am. We're all miracles. Isn't that wonderful? We all have our stories, but and in our stories, they're all a little bit different. But inside us, we're all the same. And that's what's so beautiful. You know, I was reading the big book today, and I was thinking about the wreck of the ship, that we're all on a ship that wrecked. And I'm not saying it quite right, even though I just read it today. But we're lifesavers for each other, you know. And the fellowship that grows up and around us is so much better than that alcohol. So much better. I am so grateful that I found am able to stay sober one day at a time. Thanks, Janine.
Oh, thank you, Kat.